Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And we got some new stuff on the website. So a couple of new things on the front page part of the homepage. And also top left, look there and find our blog. We've got a link to our new blog, brand spanking new blog. It's called Jim's Blog. And check it out and see what you think. I'd like your comments. We'd like to make sure that it's something that works for you. And we got some new things along those lines with regard to the blog that we're going to be, some other things that we're going to be adding in the next week or so. And I'll be telling you about that. I'm excited about having Paul Sarvati back on the show. Paul, as you know, is the chairman and CEO of Administaff. They're a professional employer organization. And a little bit later on, we'll get Fred to tell us exactly what that means. But Paul has been with us before. In fact, he and I spent a little time together last October when I was out in Texas for the Administaff Classic, the seniors tournament out there. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. And by the way, Paul is one of the founders of Administaff. How old is Administaff, Paul?
Well, we're coming up on our 20th anniversary next spring.
So. Congratulations. How long did it take you to go from private to public?
Well, we made that a very deliberate effort, actually. We went public in 1997. We wanted to actually go straight to the New York Stock Exchange, so you have to have a specific five-year history that qualifies you for that. So we planned in the early 90s and went out in 97.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wanted to – the reason I asked you that question, and you didn't know I was going to ask you this probably, but you know, I've been talking a little bit about Sarbanes-Oxley this morning. Earlier in the previous hour, I talked to Mike Menzies, who's a community banker, and he took his bank private. 50% of the reason was because of Sarbanes-Oxley. And so I'd like to ask you this question, since I've got you here, for those of our audience who have their businesses, they either are close to, or they'd like one day to think that they might go public. Would your decision have been made, how much different would your decision have been in 97 had Sarbanes-Oxley been part of the law in those days?
Well, I'm sure it would have been a significant consideration, the amount of additional effort and expense that Sarbanes-Oxley puts in or causes compared to, you know, what I believe the benefit is, would have been an issue, but I think we still would have gone public.
Right.
Because we went public for the commercial credibility,
right?
Because our industry really needed to be established, and we thought that would make a difference. And it
and I appreciate your perspectives and your thoughts on that. I think that's a really important thing for folks who are with where you were, say 10 years ago, to hear. And that Sarbanes-Oxley is not a deal killer. It's just another hurdle that you have to deal with, isn't it?
That's correct. You just have to have your eyes open and know what it's all about and know what the liabilities are and, you know, treat it with care.
I'm really proud of Administaff, Paul, for some of the leadership that you've taken in your industry, in the professional employer organization industry, and you've been doing that with some research, and you brought that with you today, and I'd like for you to talk to us about some of the things you've learned about the small businesses that you polled.
Sure. We were real excited about this quarter's survey because it showed that the small business community is, and you know, the engine of our economy is really cooking along. In fact, over 75% of the small businesses that were surveyed said they met or exceeded their growth plans for the first 6 months, and over half of those predicted their company would grow even faster for the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm. That's really exciting news to hear, Paul. It's good for the economy. It's good to hear small businesses, as you know, who represent over half of the U.S. economy, to hear them talking about that. You know, as you know, we've come through. We're now on the other side of a tough time that we had in the early part of this century. And I believe one of the reasons why things are going so well for small businesses is because a lot of small businesses learned how to survive and operate more efficiently in 2001, 2, and 3, don't you think?
Oh, I do. In fact, some of our numbers really support that. You know, a lot of people have been talking about, you know, the hiring, the employment picture and how things seem to be more deliberate. I think that's a direct function of businesses making those choices based on real information and their, you know, outlook as opposed to, you know, just optimism.
Right. Well, and I also think that we're doing a better job of blending just the right technology and the right human resources to get the job done, too. I think that's another level of capability that small business owners have acquired. Paul, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Paul Sarvati is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the chairman and CEO of Administaff. He and I will be right back. It's 20 Till. Stay with us. Back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Paul Sarvati, Chairman and CEO of Administaff, one of the founders of Administaff, a 25-year-old company and based out of the Houston area, out in Kingswood, isn't it? Isn't
that where the Kingwood, Texas?
Kingwood, Texas. That's where the headquarters is. And give us the website, Paul.
It's www.administaff.com.
Now tell us about the PEO industry, the professional employer organization industry. That's an industry that I think a lot of people, when you tell them, they're going to recognize it. But when you say PEO, that doesn't ring in a lot of people's ears. That's kind of a new term, isn't it?
Relatively new, Jim. The PEO industry, or professional employer organization industry, is basically companies who help fulfill the role and obligation of an employer as a profession. So, you know, we help businesses succeed through helping them deal with both the obligations of being an employer and also the opportunities that go with it.
Mm-hmm. But tell us why put that where the rubber meets the road. What would an actual relationship look like?
Well, the best way to understand it is that we're an HR department for small business. And I always say that doesn't sound like much until you realize most small businesses have never really had an HR department.
Most of them don't.
And so
it's help. One of the things that we don't do well, too, I'm afraid.
Well, that's right. And it's simply because, you know, when you look at a business and you look at the areas that you need to deal with, from finance to sales to operations, technology, and people, many times business owners have not been as systematic and strategic in their thinking about a people strategy as they have in the strategies in the other areas. And that's what we help them accomplish.
Well, and see, Paul, you've probably heard me say this before. My audience has heard me say this 1,000 times. The two areas that we are woefully inadequate at, most of us, most small business owners, is marketing and human resources. Most of us would rather be boiling oil is to go through the hiring process of an employee. And we, you know, it just throws our whole world into a, you know, upside down. If we have to, when we grow, we like growing, but we don't like growing if it means we have to, the part about having to hire new people. And so we need help with that. And that's the reason why that outsourcing is such an important thing. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But let's get back to the survey. What did your respondents say to you about the people part of your survey?
Well, there were a couple interesting things. Of course, first of all, they're planning to add employees. Over 45% said they would add employees in the last half of the year, and only 13% said they'd have fewer positions. But I was also interested to see that when we asked them about their key business issues, one of the top five that showed up that we haven't seen very much in the past few years was employee retention. So businesses are having to be concerned now about, you know, can we keep the people we've got?
Right. Well, one of the things, as my audience knows, every month we have two regular small business surveys that we report here with the originators of those surveys, the NFIB, Bill Dunkelberg with the NFIB, and also Sam Norwood with Tatum Partners. Both of them are conducting surveys of small businesses, and we report those. Your numbers track very closely with them, and in addition to retaining good people, they're having trouble finding good people. And you guys found that too, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. It's you know, very interesting this year. All the the compensation numbers and all the metrics I look at that are predictors of hiring mm-hmm. have all been in place, but the pace of hiring has been slower, and that's simply because of the length of time it's taking to find the right person for the
right.
job.
Right. And so when we get the right person, when you say people are concerned, 20% I think are concerned about retaining their employees, what are their concerns for retaining that employee? Is there something specific, or is it just they're just worried about it in general?
No, I think it's basically the fact that, especially I always say in a small business, everybody's an impact player, that everybody makes a difference. When basically the people that are unemployed right now, generally speaking, are not the ones you're looking for to fill a specific job, and so companies are hiring from other companies.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we also see now that employees are feeling strong enough about the job market that they are looking again
right.
and willing to make a change.
Well, and we also are finding out in doing research on the younger generations that they don't have as much loyalty to their employer as their parents and their grandparents did, aren't they?
I think that's basically true. When you look at what businesses are doing to keep people, I think that also relates to what attracts and retains the younger generation. You know, you have the normal things of providing good benefits and pay raises, but it was interesting. 39% of those surveyed, when we asked them what they were doing to keep their people, 39% said finding new challenges for people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things we know is that the top reasons why people leave a company is not compensation, isn't it?
It's usually more around feeling of value and mm-hmm. Feeling like they're making a contribution and making a difference.
Right. Absolutely. One of the things that you also found out in your survey was 39%. And this is not surprising. This is absolutely on track with what I see everywhere I go and every survey that I see, is that rising health care costs was the biggest concern of all your respondents, wasn't it?
It really was, and that was a little bit surprising, not that it's on the list because it's always on the list, but that it was the highest in a period where we have, relatively speaking, moderate health care cost increases.
Right.
You know, for many businesses, you're in the single or low double digits, and that's better than it has been.
When we come back, one of the things that I'd like you to do is to tell us how working with a PEO can help us hold those costs down. That's a really important thing that I think small business owners need to know more about. I was able to do that at one point in time. I worked with a PEO company a long time ago, and we were able to do that, and I'd like for you to talk to us about that. We'll be right back with Paul Sarvati right after these messages. He's chairman and CEO of Administat. We're back at 7:10. Little Chicago for you there. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Paul Sarvati is our guest and our good friend, the chairman and CEO of Administaff, a professional employer organization. Paul, give us your website, please.
It's www.administaff.com.
And it's just like it sounds, and don't forget, got two F's on the end there. Folks, I encourage you to check that website out and see what a PEO company looks like. Paul, you were talking a minute ago about one of the elements of your research, your small business research that you conduct. You do this every quarter, by the way?
Yes, we do.
Good for you, and I'm really proud of you guys for doing that. 39% said rising health care costs, and that's one of the biggies. Also, workers' comp is a biggie right now. When I had a larger organization, a lot more employees, I worked with a PEO, and when I had more than one company, and that organization, this was a few years ago, that organization did a great job of helping me hold down healthcare costs and workers' comp costs. And if had it not been for that relationship, for me outsourcing that part of our human resources, we wouldn't have been able to have been in business.
Well, certainly one of the big advantages is to become a part of a much larger buying group for these critical areas of your business in terms of health care and workers' comp and other benefits. And, when you become a part of thousands and thousands of employee organizations, or like ours, 85,000 employees, you're getting some serious buying power.
Well, we used to call those leasing companies. You remember those days?
Sure.
But that term sometimes put people off, didn't it? Because it made them think that you were going to bring in your employees to do the work, and that's really not what it's all about, is it?
Yeah, I always call that kind of the caveman version of what we do
exactly.
today.
You know? Exactly. Well, you just dated me there, Paul.
Nothing personal there.
No, it's
it dates
true.
Me
it's,
too.
It's true. You've seen my gray hair.
Well, I get excited every time one of mine turns gray because that's one that didn't turn loose.
That's right. Exactly.
But today as a full service human resource department, you're getting a lot more. You're getting certainly the advantage of the lower cost for those key items, but you're also getting the administrative relief and less liability, a technology interface, and basically a systematic way to improve productivity in your operation.
Well, and it includes the payroll department, doesn't it?
Absolutely, all the payroll and all the employment administration,
withholding and filing. You know, one of the things that our human resources experts on the show are quite often on the show talking about. Making sure we have this policy and that policy and, you know, so that if anything ever happened that you could always come back and say, well, we have this policy and so therefore we're not liable. It's, you know, it's on the employee or you may have to defend yourself in court with an employee if you have those policies in place that your defense will be a lot stronger. But a lot of times small business owners just don't know what that policy looks like. They don't have the time to go get it, to do the research. We don't have enough of a scale of our company to have a human resources department. Do PEOs offer those kinds of things?
Absolutely. And that's one of the big advantages of just making sure that you have the infrastructure to do what needs to be done to kind of cover the backside while you go out and make the business work financially.
What is the size of your industry? When you say you talked earlier about needing the PEO industry, the professional employee organization industry, to really become more visible on the market's radar screen. What is the size of the industry?
Well, it really has been growing at a rate of about 25 to 30% a year, and the industry now there are several thousand companies that are in the business. A lot of them small, local, but it's some larger regional players, a few like us on a national basis.
Mm-hmm.
But that right now about 3 or 3.5% of small businesses have used this type of service, but it's growing very fast, and the companies who are looking for a competitive advantage are finding it very helpful.
Paul, will you come back another day and give us the next report that you guys come out with?
Be
the
glad
next survey.
To do it.
I'd appreciate that. By the way, you're listed on New York Stock Exchange, right?
That's correct.
What is the
ticker symbol is ASF.
ASF. Check it out, folks, when you get a chance. Hey, Paul, thanks for being here. Good job.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
You bet.
Paul Sarvati, ladies and gentlemen, Chairman and CEO of Administaff. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and remember. A ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.